You have joined a study of faith here on the Radio Bible Course. The context of our study is Hebrews chapter 11. It begins with, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The Greek word for assurance can also be translated confidence. That is, faith is the confidence of things not seen. Is it possible for a man to have confidence concerning things in the hereafter? How can one have assurance of forgiveness and eternal life? Those things are in the future. Is it possible during our brief lifespan to arrive at an assurance of salvation, that is, eternal salvation? Well, the writer to the Hebrews said, faith is the assurance. Of course, we can know for certain these spiritual blessings. If we could not, the Bible would not have said that we could. Listen to what the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 5. "These things have I written unto you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." If a man is not sure of salvation, he must not have faith, because faith is the assurance of things hoped for. If you are not sure that you have eternal life, then you probably don't have it. And I often tell people that. We may as well be honest about it. It might awaken them to seek it and to find out why they don't have it. I have learned that something happens to a person when he believes God. It's like a light being turned on, and suddenly all doubts fade away and peace fills the person's heart. But nothing will happen until one believes God's promise. You might walk down in front of tens of thousands of people at an evangelistic rally hoping for salvation, but nothing of eternal value can happen until you believe God. Therefore, walking down an aisle doesn't save. You can be saved just as well in your seat, and more likely, you will be saved in your seat, if you believe. When you believe God, God will save you. That's His promise. And you won't need to respond to men's invitation to be saved, because salvation is believing God, and God has made promises, and God will fulfill those promises the moment you believe. God is so desirous to save us that He'll do it as soon as we give Him the least excuse to do it. There, of course, are many false notions about what God wants in regard to salvation. We have been taught that going to church will help save us, or being baptized will help save us, or participating in the Lord's Supper. Some people have said that if we keep the Ten Commandments, we'll surely get to heaven, or if we live by the Sermon on the Mount, or if we love one another. After all, that was the major commandment, the first commandment that Jesus gave to His disciples. But none of those things are ever connected to salvation in the Bible. Salvation is through faith. And the writer to the Hebrews in verse 1 tells us that faith is the assurance. Now, assurance is God's work. He, by the Holy Spirit, causes the forgiven sinner to have assurance. Listen to Romans 8, verse 16. "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God." Now, that's assurance. Do you have that kind of confidence that you are a child of God because of an inward witness? People who don't have that kind of an inward witness are often found being very religious or active in religious activities. By such endeavors, they hope that the assurance will come, but it never does. Men can't give you assurance of eternal life. They may try, but you will walk away disappointed. Men can, however, show you God's promises and exhort you to believe them, but we can do nothing more. You must believe what God has said. Salvation is a matter of bringing men to their Creator. And then it becomes a matter of whether the man will believe what God has said. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. How can it be possible to have the conviction of things not seen? That again is the substance of faith. The Apostle Paul wrote that we walk by faith, not by sight. Friends, if you see something, you won't need to exercise faith in it, because you have physical evidence of that thing. Faith is related to things not seen. Our hope is in that which is unseen, and we are forced to rely upon the Word of God, which promises us things beyond this life. Can you believe God's promises? Do you know what some of them are? Friends, faith in Jesus Christ brings us untold blessings. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 1, he told them that they had been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. This may come as a surprise to you, but the Bible does not promise the Christian any physical blessings in this life. If you have read the Old Testament, you know that God promised the Jews physical blessings, such as a land, a king, a nation, and prosperity and good crops. But even some of those blessings were dependent on obeying the law. The Christian's blessings are unseen. We are sure of getting them, and that assurance is faith, but they are not physical. Now, this is an area that is greatly misunderstood by many Christians, and they often pray for and trust God for things on this earth, things that will make them more comfortable, things that will serve as evidence that God is really interested in them, or that God answers prayer. And so we often pray for material things. Many of us are so deficient in faith that when we do acquire material things, we look at it as a sign of God's blessing. The primary role of faith is bringing us to God. It is a complete trust in God, who has repeatedly said that salvation is something he gives to those who will believe him, and who do nothing more than believe him. If we have saving faith, we will do nothing beyond believing to obtain his gift of eternal life. Faith means believing that God gives salvation as a gift, but it also means taking it as a gift. And when one does take it in faith, he then will have the assurance that he possesses it. The saved person is one who agrees with God that salvation is a gift and accepts it as a gift from a gracious giver. He also recognizes that since God has said salvation is by grace, he should not attempt to make himself worthy of it. That means that faith cannot be associated with boasting, because we contribute nothing to what is obtained. Faith is not a work. Faith instead is a response to the promise of God. Faith is not a meritorious action. There is more than saving faith, however. Some of the examples in Hebrews chapter 11 illustrate faith beyond personal deliverance. These tell us of people who were told to do something in connection with God's purposes, and they did it because they believed God. Noah was one of these. He found favor with God and walked with God. Genesis chapter 6 tells us he was righteous. Then God announced that he would destroy everything by a flood and instructed him to build an ark. Noah believed God would do what he announced, so he built the ship in faith. If God had said an ark would be provided by God, then Noah would not have built one. So there is saving faith, Noah had that, and there is faith's works, which demonstrate a person's faith, but always according to what God has said. True faith expresses itself in some demonstrable manner. Abel offered a sacrifice. Abraham demonstrated his faith by his intention to sacrifice his son. Hezekiah displayed his faith by praying for deliverance from the Assyrian army and then going to sleep when God said, "I will defend this city." Hezekiah did not order his troops to prepare a defense or to man the watchtowers. He rested in the promise of God as it was conveyed by the prophet Isaiah. In some instances in the Bible, men did something, but in others, they did nothing. Both were demonstrations of faith according to how God instructed them. When Paul believed in Jesus, he no longer went to the temple to offer sacrifices for sins. He no longer needed a priest. He had faith that his sins were forgiven, and the priest was not needed to offer any more sacrifices for sins. But many people today say that Jesus died for their sins, but they do not demonstrate faith in that fact. Instead, they still fear judgment and feel condemnation. They have no assurance of sins forgiven. Why not? They have knowledge, but no faith. They can't bring themselves to believe forgiveness comes by believing what God's Word tells them. They somehow cannot make the connection between the forgiveness of sins and the death of Christ. And I recall years ago, a prominent woman in this city telling me that she never could understand what the death of Jesus Christ had to do with our salvation. She was a churchgoer, a church member for many, many years, but she didn't understand faith. God's Word can't penetrate the wall of doubt in some people's minds. They do not believe God, although they believe history, that Jesus died. Hebrews 11 should have a practical benefit to each of us by disclosing whether we have biblical faith or whether we merely pretend to have it. Most of us want other people to believe that we have faith and that we have strong faith. So we often talk about how we pray. And we want to convey the fact that we are trusting God and are people of faith because people who have faith get more respect from other people. We go to church, oftentimes because that conveys that we have faith. But oftentimes we go to church because we don't have faith and we're trying somehow to get a handle on it. And if the church service is ceremony and ritual, you don't get a handle on it, because faith is connected to the Word of God. Now, there's much more to say about faith, and we'll do that in our program tomorrow. I hope you'll join me here. All of these studies on the book of Hebrews are available on cassette tape. You can get information about our teaching tapes by writing to the Radio Bible Course. The Radio Bible Course invites your questions and comments about this program. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Kalavoda, reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.